time and energy are our most valuable resources. But success isn't just about what we do with our time. It's very much about how much of ourselves we bring to the time we have and how we feel about our choices. Welcome to Take Charge of Your Productivity with your host, Penny Zenker. We're here to bring you a whole new perspective on how to manage your precious time and energy. You'll gain key strategies, skills, and the necessary psychology that create the balance you are craving and deserve. Now, here is Penny Zenker.
It's Penny Zenker, your host of Take Charge of Your Productivity. On this show, we host great authors, leaders, and entrepreneurs to explore your greatest potential by tapping into the 10 core drivers of time and energy management. You know, to specify how these 10 core drivers come together, I came up with a windmill as a metaphor for human productivity. So the windmill has this gear mechanism that works from within. The smoother, the more consistent, and the faster the blades turn, the more productive you tend to be. In taking charge of your productivity, there are three segments, or in windmill terminology, blades, that are absolutely critical. They are, write these down, championship psychology, because psychology always comes first, winning strategies, because once we have the psychology, we can build onto the strategies, and then lastly is sustainable results, because once we have them, we don't want a blip up of success, we want to make it sustainable. So we want to know what are the drivers to make it sustainable. And without all three of these blades, your productivity windmill is underpowered. It's going to turn, but not optimally. And today we're going to have a really great discussion around work-life balance. And it's a topic that many people get excited about. Some people feel that it's actually impossible and they give up trying, while others obsess over getting that balance and feel frustrated because they feel like they're never there. I mean, what is balance anyway? Is it even possible? You know, how do I know that I have it, right? These are the things that we're asking ourselves. What's the time frame for evaluating it? Daily, weekly, monthly, right? So we're going to dive deep today on understanding balance and the factors that keep us from our personal balance. And on today's show, we're going to learn what work-life balance isn't, and then on the other side, I guess what it is, and then tools to get out of your head, right? And then lastly, we're going to talk about procrastination a little bit and look at a quick way to win the battle of procrastination. So we're going to have a jam-packed show today. And we have a fantastic guest. Just as she came on, we said we are the queens of energy. So you're going to hear lots of energy through this interview together today. So welcome Nikita Thigpen. And Nikita is a challenger, one whose clear purpose is to task others to greatness. As president and co-founder of ThinkPro, a life management and professional development company, her inevitable ability to develop the person inside the professional, right? So that person that is the professional through customized retreats and simplistic solutions is precisely what makes her the premier specialist in coaching. As a woman's executive balance advisor, she helps high achievers and high potentials to build efficient work structures that allow them to effectively infuse balance into their lives and business via corporate and personal development. She does micro retreats and executive advancement programs. And as a licensed clinical social worker with expertise in relationship management, trauma, and related behavioral modalities, Nikita realized that she couldn't impact the world in a unique way by integrating her skills. She could, excuse me, impact the world in a way that would integrate her skills and gifts and talents as a holistically centered success coach and balance advisor. So that's how she brings it all together with that amazing background. And she does this in designing real solutions to real-time problems that exist within the business and personal worlds of today's leaders. Nikita is determined to move them beyond excellence into rare air of greatness, system implementation, innovative mindset, modification, and balance. So without further ado, let's hear from Nikita herself. Welcome, Nikita.
Well, thank you, Penny. You know I'm excited to be here with you.
Well, you know what? I think everybody online should be excited because we are going to cover a lot of great stuff today.
Yes, we are. I'm looking forward to it. We have such a great energy, so I'm just waiting for the world to hear it from us today.
That's great. Well, why don't we start with, tell us a little bit about yourself. So you said, you know, in your bio, you know, you started out as a licensed clinical social worker. How did you get from there to where you are today?
Well, I'm still there. I will be a licensed clinician to the day I die. I put in so many blood, sweat, tear moments, undergrad, grad, and postgrad. Uh-huh. I will not let that go. So I still maintain my license. I stay on top of everything I need to do to keep in touch and on top of my field. And I use my clinical tools. I literally, not to overuse the word, but I infuse them into the practice that we have. So when we bring in other trainers, other facilitators, if I'm sharing the stage with other speakers, I look for some kind of symbol of synergy in that clinical background. It don't have to be a clinical social worker. It may just be a psychology or anthropology or some other kind of social science background where they're just more aware of people's behavior. It's really important to be able to see that in body language. Sometimes it's people who have NLP abilities or just, you know, other things that they're able to bring in that meshes a more clinical perspective, and they make the difference in our company as well as myself. Like the differentiator is we're not going in just to break people. We're there to break them down just enough so we can get at the heart of what's really going on without, you know, splitting them into pieces where they feel like they can't be repaired and now they need therapy because the therapists have destroyed them, right?
Well, that's an interesting perspective. So what do you mean you break them down, right, and not into those little pieces? So explain that to us a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So what happens a lot, you know, think about some of the, I mean, this is for everyone listening, of course, too. We all had a supervisor, a peer, a friend, maybe even a family member that was beyond cocky. It was beyond arrogant. It wasn't just a natural confidence. It wasn't just because they felt really good about their accomplishments and their achievements. They had a lot of other stuff going on, and we knew it. We weren't clinicians and called it something. We were just like, okay, that person's, maybe we just said they're a jerk. Well, that jerk who is amazing, who's brilliant, who's running this company, who's being really awesome in their position, has a void that there's something going on with them. And because of my clinical abilities meshed with my coaching, my experiences, my leadership strategy and all that, we and whoever is in our team at the time, we can come in and see that they're just not arrogant. There's a void there. So let's break down all the superficial parts that are laying on the outside of that professional self, that exterior, and let's get to the person inside and look at that void. So that's kind of the breaking without making them broken. You know what I mean?
Right. So you're looking at their behaviors because people are not their behaviors. So and that gives you an indication of where, you know, where they might need some support to change that behavior, right? Because it might not be as productive as they might like it to be.
Absolutely. And for some people, they're hiding behind what seems like a really productive style. So you and I, Penny, we meet a lot of high-achieving people, and they're awesome. I mean, they're rock stars in their business. They're not necessarily looking for someone to add more skill to what they have. But we also know that their 70% that everyone else sees as 150 is still not their best self. They're not even at their excellent self yet. It's excellent for other people, but they're not fulfilled because they're not doing all that they could, and it's because of whatever those blockers are that are interrupting and becoming a barrier for their progress.
Absolutely. So that's great. So that's something that juices you, right? Is to combine those clinical skills with the coaching skills and go in and help these executives be able to uncover that.
Absolutely. So they can literally get focused on whatever matters to them and truly become more balanced, you know, live in their truth.
So let's talk about that. What is balance anyway, right? What is it?
Well, that's a great question. So there's a semantic play on the term balance that I love to have this conversation because some people say there's no work-life balance. It's work-life integration. It's work-life engagement. It's harmony. No balance. You know, we hear it all the time. I say that, you know, for someone who spent almost $300,000 in student loans, I just want to say that's a play on words. At the end of the day, being harmonious is balance. And, you know, integrating effectively is balance. What it isn't is that visualization that we see when we see, and I've even used these pictures in PowerPoints for past workshops, there's a woman or a man or both walking on a tightrope. And I think that's the misconception. That's what makes it feel overwhelming. That tightrope that we see that's typically aligned with, you know, work-life balance, that's really the shades of you that show up, those personalities, the personal side, the professional side, the mama, the papa, the sister, the daughter, the husband, the friend, the minister, the volunteer. Those are the shades that are walking and typically trying to figure out when to switch hats. But balance really is more of a teeter-totter. You know, back in the day when you were a small tot and you were in the playground and one of your friends or your siblings would go on one end and you would go on the other, and it took both of you to kind of really have fun and engage, everybody couldn't be up at the same time, right, Penny? Like somebody had to be up so the other person could go down and go. So balance is never 50-50. It's what it is to you when you need it to be that way for you. So if I'm in my work hat and I got a project with a deadline in 4 hours, I need to be 95% work. That is my balance because that's the focus that matters to me. And my family and my friends need to understand that the 5% they got was probably a text message that said, hey, leave me alone for the next 4 hours. So that's the work-life balance so I can go in. And if we can communicate those shades of ourselves really effectively, there is no tightrope. It's really just understanding what works for you when it works. If you have 2.5 kids and a dog and I have 2.5 kids and a dog, your work-life balance day-to-day and hour-to-hour is still going to look different than mine, and that's okay. So what it isn't is it's not the same as the person next to you or even the person you aspire to be. It has to be customized for whatever works for your life and your family.
Absolutely. You know, it's so important that you said that because people think that they need to fit into some kind of a norm, right? So that, I mean, I know a lot of entrepreneurs, they love what they do. And the fact that they work as many hours as they do and somebody says, oh, you shouldn't work so many hours, you're not balanced. Who says they're not balanced? It really depends on what they feel about it. And, you know, unless something else is being affected by the number of hours that they're working, if their health is good and they're, you know, taking care of themselves, right? Not that they're sleeping only 3 hours a night or something like that and you know, deteriorating their health or their relationships, it's okay to find whatever balance that is for you. It doesn't have to be someone else's definition. And by the way, to the listeners, that goes with everything in our life. Like, give up the comparisons, right?
Yes.
My friend Sarah calls it a cancer that affects us is when we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people, right? We should just be comparing ourselves to the best of ourselves.
Absolutely, and that's your competition. I want to be better than who I was this morning. You know what I mean? Like, this morning I was awesome, but I want to be more awesome right now in this moment. I want to pour out more of what I have literally took time, sweat, years, and tears to pour in. I want to make sure that I'm giving it out in a better way, in a more filtered way than even the way that I did it this morning. And you don't have to apologize because I think we do it a lot. We fall into this default of apologizing for our achievements and our accomplishments. And it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe I'm just not doing as much as I could be because as great as this morning was, it wasn't great enough. No, this morning really was great. But right now, I'm going to be greater. And that's okay.
Well, and that's so important. That's one of the 10 core drivers that I talk about is progress, is you've got to recognize your progress. Too many people at the end of the day, they focus on what they didn't do, and that just creates a downward spiral momentum of feeling bad about yourself and being stressed that there's so much to do and so forth, as opposed to taking a look at what you did do and using that as a plan to move forward for the following day.
Exactly. I think that's a great driver, and it's something that I'm sure you already highlight, but for those who haven't highlighted in their book of things to be reminded of, please note that down. Pull over the car and note that down right now.
Yes, please don't do that while you're driving.
Yeah, we said drivers, not driving, right?
Totally. You know, I wanted to bring up a point that came to me as I was thinking about the topic today, and I was having some recent discussions, also in a relationship group recently that I was talking to, you know, asked the the couples to talk to each other about what was what created a greater connection for them. And the important thing that came out was it wasn't, in any case, it was never the quantity of time. Mm-hmm. It was always the quality of time. And I think that when we think about balance, we're focused on quantity, right? Quantity of hours worked, quantity of hours with the family, quantity of hours, you know, personal exercise and so forth. And I just want to bring it to the point and have a little discussion around, it's really about the quality of what we're creating. That's working smarter. That, to me, is being balanced, is finding the quality in all of those, because you can maybe have a ton of time with your family, but if you're not present because your head's in your business or something like that, then the quality is diminished or zero, and then you still feel, you or your family feel unfulfilled at the end of the day, right? It don't feel balanced.
Absolutely, and you brought up such a key phrase when you said be present. There's so many people who are showing up at meetings, showing up at networking events, showing up at company-sponsored events, showing up at their children's recitals and soccer games and whatever, but you're not really there. And people feel it. They can see it. Now, some, unfortunately for you, and not you, Penny, but you, you know, who's being in that moment, people are attributing your not showing up and your lack of presence that clearly comes out as much as you're wearing the mask and you think no one knows. They're associating it with a lack of incompetence. They're also showing it with some disengagement. They're saying, oh, well, you know, he didn't really want to be in the conversation with me, so, I guess we can't do business. Or obviously I wasn't entertaining enough for her to, you know, listen to me. So we're blocking blessings constantly because we're showing up with a mask saying, well, they just better be happy that I was there. Like, no, don't go. How about
right,
that? That's
right.
Better balance.
I showed up, right?
Be present. Right.
Right. I like that. I'm going to tweet that. It's kind of like, don't just show up, be present.
Exactly. Exactly. I like that tweet. I'll retweet it.
I'm tweeting it now, right? We're in the days. I hope I spelled everything right. If not, you'll have to correct it for me. I don't have my glasses on. So those, you know, I think that's such an important point for people. So I'm glad that we touched upon that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that kind of goes into the next topic that we wanted to talk about was, you know, we defeat ourselves in our head, right? So we're not present because we're in our head.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff going on up there, especially, you know, that as a you know, in your background as a social worker, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's talk about that. What's holding people back? What do you see as the greatest things that are holding people back? And what are some of the – then we'll get into some of the tools to help us to get out of our head.
Absolutely. So depending on what shade of themselves is stuck in their head, right? So if you're in your personal life, you know, as a wife or a husband, a friend or a daughter, you know, so on and so forth, that personal side of you, sometimes the thing that's holding you back and that kind of gets stuck, that muck and mire, as I call it a lot, that is because of emotion. So it's an anger, it's a guilt, it's a shame. To your point a few minutes ago when you're trying to be everything to everyone and you're, you know, pushing this quantity of time instead of quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't do the quantity. So when you're pushing for the quantity, it takes away from the quality of you being there. There's a lot of that blocking you. So now you're just trying to be, you know, weekend warrior, super mom, superhero to everyone, and you're burning out. Which is a major issue. I like to tell people all the time, pay attention to the superheroes. Notice they're only on air for 2 hours, right? they're flying around and they're taking out burning buildings and saving babies for as long as the movie lasts. And then what do you think they're doing after the movie is over? They're refueling. They're taking care of themselves. We think that they
That's
do
right.
that 24/7.
That's right.
And
major athletes are the same. Major athletes are the same. They only perform in that intensity for short periods of time, and then it's followed by long periods of rest.
Absolutely, and that makes them better than if they try to exert themselves because they understand the marathon disposition versus the sprint, and a lot of us don't get it. We're looking at other people's lives through the context of what they showed us. Just because someone shows up on social media as, you know, all these award shows and red carpet and all this, do you think that's 24/7? You know, there's a lot that went into that, and we have to remind ourselves that there's a lot that goes on beyond those small peaks those small moments that we get to see that we think is there 24/7 and it's not. So there's a lot of comparison, to your point, competition, which associates itself with guilt and shame, and some, for some people, anger and rage that kind of blocks us. So the first thing, without jumping into tools too fast on the personal side, is just to recognize what your problem is. Like, what are you doing? Are you comparing? Are you competing? Are you trying to fill a void of your own? And that's why all this muck and mire is, you know, kind of swirling up to the forefront personally. But in business, it's a lot different. I feel like in business, it's a stage game. It's understanding where you're at and being okay with it. I feel like there's five stages of success. You're dreaming, you're believing, you're planning, then you're doing. And if you did everything right, you're preserving your success before you start all over in those stages as you develop something else, some new service, new product, new innovative team idea, you know, some new thought gets done. And we constantly cycle through those stages with every new level that we go through. But if you think that you're a doer and you're really just in dream stage, there's a disconnect. And that's why we're in our head and we're confused and we feel chaotic and frustrated, and we'll use that term, which I think is very overused, I'm stuck. And we'll say it all the time, like, I'm stuck. Like, are you stuck or are you just unclear of where you really are? I have a 19-year-old, and without putting him out there too much, you know, he's in right now, and as appropriate as he should be, he's in dream stage right now. But he really thinks he's between planning and doing. I'm like, no, boo, you're not. You're still dreaming. So I need you to understand there's a way to get to doing, but you can't, you know, say you're going to do all these things and have this loose, non-strategic plan, because, of course, he's 19. He thinks he knows everything, right?
Right.
You know, he's not listening to my wisdom. With, you know, I was just born yesterday. But he's still dreaming. And dream, everything starts with a dream, and that's awesome. It has to start with a dream, but you can't get stuck in your dream. That's when you get stuck, when you're in the dream and you're not moving forward. But people sometimes in business, and I'm talking about the professionals in their career as well as the entrepreneurs, they don't necessarily understand where they're at and where they need to get help. So if someone is really a dreamer and they're an idea person, maybe they need to come to a Penny Zinker and get help with the plan. Maybe they can't get there because that's not their vital function. They're like, hey, I'm a dreamer. I'm really, really good at it. But I'm struggling to get past believing in myself because as soon as I get the plan, I run back to dreaming again. Oh, you know, maybe this isn't going to work. Let me make the dream bigger. No, maybe you need a coach, an advisor, someone on your brain trust to help you get through plans to get you to doing so you can preserve the success.
Right, because we all have different personality types, right? Some people are just much better at the dreaming, the vision, right, and getting that, and they need those other people. That's why we need a well-rounded team when we work together, is to find, you know, it's funny because it's the number one hiring mistake that most people make, entrepreneurs, is they hire people like themselves, right? Oh, I like this person. They're just like me, right? And that's bad. You want to find different people who are going to excel in those different stages. I like that. I also want to come back to what you said earlier, which is really important, is to recognize when these emotions show up. Like, I see that as if you get curious, when you get, you know, angry or you feel guilty, if you get in a curious state, that'll allow you to move on to the next stage by just recognizing, going, this is really interesting. What does this mean, right? And really asking yourself that a couple of times to get some perspective on it. What else could this mean? What else could this mean? You know, in where your needs aren't being met or something, as you said, isn't congruent.
No, I totally agree. And a lot of people should receive that and let it resonate. Because what happens is we get so caught in how smart we are. You know, I went to school, I have certifications, I have skills, I made five businesses and sold my first one for $30 million before I was 29. You know, we have all these things that we check off our list of, you know, I'm so awesome, and you are. And receive and let it sit with it. But in order for you to move beyond awesome into your next level of excellence so you can conquer the world, you got to conquer yourself and realize what your barriers are at every stage of life. There's a new barrier. You just did amazing things yesterday, and today has its own new problems, its own new barriers trying to prevent you from getting to tomorrow. And as soon as we recognize where that is and we conquer us, we're completely unstoppable and therefore productive.
Absolutely. What other tools do we have to get out of our head? Do you have some other ideas to share with the guests today?
Absolutely. One of the things I like to talk about a lot is creating a toolkit for when you get stuck. Everything is all good until it's not, right, Penny? Like, you know, everything is well.
My brother says that all the time. It's like everything is the way you think it is until it's not. I love that. So say that again so for everybody to hear that.
I said everything is all good until it's not. You know, it's all going really well and moving and shaking smoothly according to the law of the universe until it's
That's
not.
That's right, until it's not.
Until it's Bam. Not. And I think we have to be available to the fact that those moments are going to come more often than we prefer. So let's have a toolkit prepared. You know, what do we do when things aren't moving the way we want them to move, especially when it's around our focus and our ability to recognize where the barrier is? So I always I help people create what I call your power five, you know, your toolkit that you can go into. And everybody's is a little bit different, but I like to throw these five things out as just an idea to kind of get their ideas going, you know, so they can customize it and tweak it. Because remember, balance is all about, you know, what they need as an individual for themselves. So the first thing that I would recommend is creating, you know, kind of a 2 to 10, taking 2 minutes and making sure that you just breathe in and breathe out and resettle where you are in your life and take a moment to say what's happening right now, to just sit with what's happening and just breathe for 2 minutes and work your way up to 10. Everybody is not a, you know, long 30-minute meditator, yogi. You know, that's not the thing for everyone. But everyone does need to breathe. So I definitely recommend that you take a step back when you realize you're in that, you know, chaotic, oh, my goodness, you know, I'm about to lose my mind because something isn't going the right way, or I can't finish this project or program or produce this launch that I'm trying to do. You know, whatever phase you're in that you feel stuck or feel like things aren't moving, stop. Just stop and take 2 minutes and breathe. And that should be an essential for everyone's toolkit, because if you're not breathing, we have another problem, right?
Well, and that is a problem because we breathe really shallowly when we're stressed, and we tend to live, you know, studies are showing that, you know, the World Health Organization has declared stress a worldwide epidemic, right? So we aren't breathing properly. So that is a really important thing for people to stop and just breathe properly.
Absolutely. And to your point, breathing properly for most people is to inhale for 3 seconds and exhale for 5, assuming that they're not running or jogging or, you know, doing something else. It's to really just get your body, you're massaging your organs. Literally, you're giving your body an internal massage when you're breathing appropriately. And as good as external massage feels, when we have the luxury of having someone else rub us down and make us untense and feel really comfortable, we have the power to do that with ourselves for the inside of our body. If we could just pause for a moment and breathe. So 3 seconds in and 5 seconds out. And if you could do that for 2 minutes and work yourself up to 10 minutes a day, it will change your life. I guarantee it.
It will. It will. I just did it once and I felt so much more relaxed. It really does. I started to do a 15-minute meditation in the mornings last year, and now I've started to do it with my son because he's having some anxiety issues, and it's made a real difference for him too. So it's true, and I love what you just said. Breathing is massaging your organs. That makes it sound like you're doing your body such a good favor, doesn't it? Like, I just love the way you said that.
Yes, and you are, because that's something, like, you know, Penny, and most of the people who are listening probably don't. I do a 5 a.m. Periscope Monday through Friday, which is Wake and Breakthrough, and it's usually 10 or 15 minutes. This morning was much longer. We went much more in-depth because we were talking about those things that we do and don't take care of our body. I was using the analogy of filling up, and I use a cup as an example. You know, the things that we pour in the cup obviously should be good stuff, but you pour the wrong thing in, you leave stains on your cup. Some things are, you know, so toxic that it's deteriorating the porcelain. You know, we got to really be mindful of what we put in our body. And once we, you know, okay, we recognize, oh, maybe I shouldn't have had a glazed donut. Maybe I, you know, shouldn't have drank as much, or whatever the case is that you poured in. And I'm picking on food nutrients, but I'm applying it to everything. You know, those things that we pull in from TV and media and all that as well. There's a scrubbing process that we have to do. But once you took the time to scrub yourself out with detoxes and spiritual cleanses and meditating, why are you going to put more toxic stuff back in? You got to have a way to take care of what's going on the inside, or else your body is going to stop taking care of you. And talk about being confused and stuck in your head. You're not going to have to worry about that when you can't move out of bed.
That's right. It's like somebody said this to me. It's kind of like if you don't listen to the if you don't take care of it ahead of time, then your body's going to give you some signals. And if you don't listen to those signals, then the signals are only going to get louder.
Exactly. Until they shut you down. And that
That's
goes
right.
not only for your physical body, Penny. I have a quick story before I jump into the other tools to get out of your head. One of my aunties, who's very spiritual, she's a deacon. Her and her husband are deacon and deaconess. I remember she told me a story, and I'm sure it was a lesson because I was young and, you know, stubborn like my kids. And she told me a story about a woman she knew who wasn't listening to the signals, to your point, to use that term exactly. Mm-hmm. She heard signals that she was supposed to write her story. Whatever her story was so phenomenal that it was going to change the right lives. Didn't have to be a multitude of lives, but the right lives were going to be affected. But she was so busy. She was a high-achieving woman on the move, making money, doing what she needed to do, climbing the corporate ladder. She didn't have time until crossed the street, got hit, and ended up being paralyzed in the bed for 9 months. In that time, she had to relearn everything. She was, you know, communicating by blinking her eyes, you know, the whole nine. They had to bring in all the electronic tools to help her. What she started to do was to write her book. She started writing her book with the tools they gave her with her eyes, and then eventually her body started to kind of recover, wake up, and she could actually finish the book. And I don't tell the story to say, you know, she became this billion-dollar author or anything, but by the time she finished writing the book, she was able to walk again, to talk again, and to move again. And when she was able to communicate, she said to those who were close, don't waste your time ignoring the signals, because the reality is, had I had wrote this book before, God wouldn't have to sit me down to make sure I got it done. So pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Pay attention. I like that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So tell us about some of the other tools that people can have in their toolkit. So breathing is absolutely the easiest. We've got it with us everywhere we go.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Mm-hmm. So breathing, definitely. Something for a lot of our, I call them analytical creatives, which I fall into and you fall into. We're very highly academic. We're nerds. You know, we're self-proclaimed nerds, but we're also very creative. So often it's that bridge of trying to communicate the logical, analytical, this is not what I learned in school self, to the creative, but there's no possibilities, there's no limitations self of the creative, and kind of bridging the gap and communicating that without making one of ourselves, you know, the analytical self feel less than or confused, and making the creative self feel like it's not good enough, right? So that bridge. So I always say to close the gap on that bridge is brain dump. That should be something that's in your toolkit. I brain dump every single night. I do it through something I call my SOT, S-O-T, which is my string of thought. Sometimes I'll do it in a recorder on my phone, just a regular old MP3, and I'll just literally vomit all the stuff, all the ideas that are, like, in my head that I just need to get out. I don't have a structure. It's not bullet point. It's not paragraph. I'm not trying to be grammatically correct. I just need to get it out so that I can look at it. Sometimes it's on the recorder. Sometimes it's in a journal. And I can come back and say, oh, wow, look at the ideas that I uncovered in there. Look at the anger that I saw in there. Look at the doubt that I saw in there. You know, lots of things that get stuck and hidden behind our language. If we're not speaking about it, sometimes it's hiding in our head because we might not have talked it out loud, but it was in our head causing the chaos and the confusion. So get it out.
That's right. And it comes out. And if you circle that language, like if you journaled that and you'd circle the language to see what's behind it, it is really interesting. People, when I work with people, one of the first things I have them do is to fill out a questionnaire. And that's one of the key things I'm looking for is what's their language.
Mm-hmm.
What are they not saying?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because a lot of us, you know, I just had a meeting with someone amazing earlier today before your show aired. And I said, give someone long enough and they'll tell on themselves. You know, just let them talk. They'll tell you everything in 15 minutes. If you give them long enough and you're patient and present enough to hear it, you'll hear the language of doubt or confusion or arrogance or the pretenders. We have a lot of those people. When you're an entrepreneur like you and I are, we meet a lot of people who are posing. And it comes out if you give them long enough.
definitely. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, one more tool. Interesting enough, we have a couple people on the line who might want to ask us a question. I'm not sure. But maybe we'll take those questions in a little bit. Well, what's one more tool that you've got for people?
If I had to pick one, I would say Remix Your Mantra. You know, because there's a couple more, but remixing your mantra is pretty major. You know, our language, which is a good follow-up to what you just said, sometimes we'll say, I'm trying, I will, I should. How about I am? You know, if you are working on a book and you're in the process and maybe even working on the book for 8 years, I don't know, then instead of saying, I'm trying to be a writer, I will be an author, say I am an author. You know, like speak in it, walk in your truth. If you remix that mantra and you literally stake claim on that thing that you want to truly own, you will become it, but you have to speak into your own life. So remix the way that you speak to yourself about yourself and your own life and in the possibilities of your abundance.
I like that. Remix your mantra. I like that. Like that. Before we take, I'm going to take a question or two there because I think it's fun when people might have some questions. But I have to ask you, I ask every guest this, you know, how do you define productivity and why?
That's a great question. So depending on where it is in my life, the biggest thing for me in being productive is staying focused on what matters most to me in the moment. And I know that sounds a little odd because, you know, your moments can change by your lack of clarity, right? Like, oh, you know, I'm all over the place. But my moment is always God, family, and then everything else. That is literally the order of things for me. So if I know that I am not taking care of myself to the best of my ability because I wasn't doing my devotions, I am a big meditation person. So if I'm not having that time, then I'm not going to be as productive in the day because everything was scattered for me. So my productivity is based on the alignment of my priorities first. And then if it needs to switch to my productivity is showing up at my daughter's 5,000 recitals that she has, you know, often, and I need to push and delegate some of the other non-vital function areas of my work onto, you know, to outsource it or to bring in excellent trainers and facilitators and say, you know what, as much as I would love to be the one to show up to do this, I need to delegate this out, then I'll do it that way. And as long as the thing that matters the most gets done and I don't disappoint any clients and, you know, the prospects and so on and so forth, that's how I aligned it, is doing what matters to me most in that moment.
Right. Because it may need to get done, but it doesn't need to get done by you.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm going to tweet that.
I'm over here.
Do you see an X factor? Do you see an X factor in that? So for you to be productive in that, if there's only one thing, what would that thing be that is the driver of that?
The driver for me, when I'm staying focused on what matters the most, is remembering that my best self is when I'm elevating others. But I have to be strong enough to do it. So if I'm lacking energy, and you and I are big energy seekers, energy givers, and we understand the power of maintaining that, if I don't have energy, then I can't elevate anyone else. And that's a part of my purpose. So knowing your purpose is probably the X factor. And I know that it's very challenging and difficult for people who are really good at a lot of things. They're like, I'm good at so many things. What's the thing I'm supposed to be great at? Well, just keep in mind that a lot of those things you're good at are to support your greatness. If you can just slow down a little bit and see what you're not only drawn to, but what are the things that are impacting people in the biggest way, you know?
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And I believe purpose is really important. Even if you might not know kind of your life's purpose in that context, you still have goals or, you know, who are you doing it for? What are you doing it for, right? So there's still that purpose that you can find, even if you feel like there's still something more, there's still the purpose for you right now.
Exactly.
One of the things that came to me, so you talked about these three tools, and I just want to relate it back to balance, right? You talked about, just remind us of the three things. It was the breathing. It was the, forget the exact word you used. It was around the language, right?
Remix your mantra.
Remix your mantra. And what was the third one?
Brain dumping.
Brain dumping, that's it. Mm-hmm. So I just want to bring that back to balance, right? So that people, because sometimes if we don't spell it out, so how do these tools for you, right? Because I was just thinking in my head, well, I hope people make the connection. So how do these tools in your head aid to people's balance?
That's a great question.
Their ability to find balance.
That's a great question. So increasing your focus is what contributes to your balance. When you can get focused, that means that you can get intimate with what matters most, whatever that is for you, because it's, you know, balance is individual and customized to what matters the most for you and your priorities, your family, your spirit, whatever's going on. So for me, focus is an intimacy, and balance is your truth. I need you to get intimate with your truth. So in order to get true, to get to that other end of your balance and your truth, you got to get intimate. So these tools help you get more focused so you can get to your truth. And that's really what balance is for me. Like if I'm unbalanced, I'm not living my truth. I'm living for someone else. I'm trying to meet the needs and expectations of other people, which is why I'm off balance.
And
a lot of the reasons I'm off balance is because I'm unfocused, because I didn't get intimate with what matters most to me. I was, again, trying to please or appease other people, and that's the problem. So for me, focus and balance go hand in hand. Increase your focus, you'll infuse your balance.
Hold on, I'm going to write that again. Increase your focus,
you infuse your balance.
Isn't that great that I can communicate across various different things at the same time? I can tweet, can be on the radio, all these different things. And I just want to highlight, I love the wording that you used there, is that focus is intimacy and balance is truth. I mean, that's really profound.
Profound. I can't take credit, Penny. Most of the great ideas I have are literally downloaded to me from God, honestly. Every name of every program I've ever created isn't a Nikita thing. It was literally, God, what should I call this? I'm very in tune to the universe and the creator who created it. And I need to know before I move forward in anything, because that's my alignment, that's my priority, is to make sure that I'm doing things according to the will that I was purposed to do it. And I try to not get confused in myself with my own just great ideas and stay connected, because then I know that I'll impact the right people.
Absolutely. Before we go on to the last thing around procrastination, I just want to see if anybody here has I've had a couple people come on and go off, and they're like, "Come on, take my call." so I'm gonna take a call or two here, just quick, just for you callers who I'm gonna bring on. I don't know the regions that you're calling from or your name, so I'll say caller you're on, and if you are hanging on the line, if you say hello then and say your name, then I'll repeat your name back, and you'll know that I'm talking to you. And callers, please make it a short question, because we do only have about 15 minutes left. So I'm going to open up the line. Caller, you're on the line.
Hi, my name's Johnny.
Hey, Johnny.
Hi, great show.
Do you have a work-life balance question for Nikita here?
I do. Is there any specific exercises, and I apologize, I caught the show halfway through, and I'm going to log right on and listen to this whole show probably twice. What a great guest you have. Is there any specific exercises and metrics that I can implement to really track my progress and keep consistency? And also, how humble that you're giving it all to God, all your ideas. I thought you were going to say, you know, my ideas come from all these other great people, because, you know, there aren't really that many original ideas, but you're giving gratitude to God, the higher power, which really helps the universe just jump in and conspire for our success. So,
Thank you, Johnny.
Just the question about metrics and some daily exercises that I could do to really get on point. And also, at the end of the show, please tell me how I can find out more information about you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Johnny, so much. My heart is smiling. I definitely appreciate your comments and your compliments, for sure. To answer your question about metrics and kind of keeping track of it, I'm assuming you mean improving your balance. Just kind of your overall work-life balance. You may mean something more specific, and we can definitely talk offline if there's something more specific you are, you know, asking about. But in general, the best thing to do is to literally write down where you are. So where are you stuck? Where are you confused at? If it's in business, it was, you might have missed this part, but it was a part of the stages. Are you kind of stuck in dreamer stage? Are you believing in everything you're doing, but you're kind of confused at moving through the plan? Just kind of knowing where you are before you can move on and kind of assign specific tactics that you can do to make more tangible. If you're stuck in more of a personal area of your balance with just, you know, waking up in the morning, exercising, eating the right things, healthy, it really is to chart where are your triggers. You know, are you someone who's like, you know what, my energy's low, I'm fatigued more often, and you're trying to figure out how to get more energy? It's really first understanding where you are, and then you can implement specific tangible steps to get there. So if it's about not having enough hours in a day, I hear that a lot. It's not enough for me. I need more hours in the day.
Right. And that's just an excuse.
Yeah, absolutely. And Penny and I have actually talked about that before. We all have the same amount of hours in time, right? But some of us are not jumbling our priorities the right way. So maybe if you really are having, and I'm just throwing out examples, Johnny, so if there's something more specific, of course, we can talk offline. But if you need more hours in your day, then I challenge you to use a metric of getting up 10 minutes earlier. Try that for a week, then 15 minutes, and then 20, and so on and so on. And you take realistic, small, tangible steps. And what you do with that extra time is don't lay in the bed and don't stay there, but you move through your normal routine, because you'll tweak it a little bit at a time to, you know, to make it more of a habitual thing that's automatic for your subconscious. You'll get up and you'll do something a little different. So if it's, I need to just have time to breathe, that's your 2 to 10 right there. If you get up 5 minutes earlier, you got your 2 minutes you were looking for to breathe different, massage your organs, and you're actually working on your energy just by that 5 minutes and infusing that 2 minute breathing technique. So it depends really on what the balance challenge is. I know that sounds like a weird phrase, but, you know, what's your balance challenge? And then we can actually customize a plan for it. But I'm happy to talk to you offline. And at the end of the show, I'm sure Penny will allow me the opportunity to share contact information.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great. Thank you. Let's take one more caller, and then I want to talk about procrastination a little bit. Caller, you're on the line.
John C. Wesley Jr.
Hey, John Wesley Jr., do you have a question for us about balance?
Well, of course I have a question. And I'd like to, first of all, thank you, Nikita, for your insight. And, Penny, of course, you always do a wonderful job. You did it with our when we had our talk, and I like to follow what you're doing, because you're doing some things to help people on the planet and to help God's children, and that's why we're here. We're not here to helping God's children. We're wasting his time, and we're completely wasting our time.
Yeah,
so,
Thank you. Absolutely.
That's a real point. Nikita, what I wanted to say is, I know you touched on, you know, somewhat of a topic of the laws of success when it comes to what people do, because a lot of people don't really understand what those particular principles for success are. I just wanted to kind of get your feedback on what I'm asking. Am I right in terms of the direction that the Father, the Heavenly Father, is giving me in terms of my inspiration to do what I need to do to help his children? And knowing the laws of success by his principles are very important, I think, because to me, what I understand about his knowledge is, we as humans do not know if he hadn't put it in us or in a way to us to explain us. You can't know something or get it out of the book if you haven't got it from God, because he's the source of all knowledge. So if he hadn't put it in there, then you're not going to know it. And most people think they could think their way through a process, but if that was the case, we wouldn't have the problems we have in the world right now. We would have been solved them already, and we haven't solved them as smart as we think we are. So saying that, you know, some of the things that I started following, Kenny, and I think you've talked with me about this before, you have to fix the goal. I think the first law of your success would have to be, you have to have a goal. If you don't know what your goal is, then what are you working for? What are you working for? The second law, I think, has to do with education, and of course that incorporates preparation, because you can't get to your goal unless you are educated enough about what it is that you're working on in order to be prepared to handle it. And of course, the third goal, I would believe, would have to be good health. You have to have good health, because if you're not in good health, you're not going to accomplish anything. Like you said, Nikita, you can't get up, you can't get out, because you can't move.
You're done.
That's it. And, of course, you know, I think that the fourth law would probably be being driven, drive. You know, you have to have a sense of purpose, like you said. You have to drive. You have to be driven to do something and get it done right. And, of course, the fifth law to me would be resourcefulness. You've got to be able to try to be resourceful in getting to that law of success. Number six, I think, would be, like, perseverance. You got to hang in there. You got to be able to hang in there. I try to operate off of a process. People say, well, let's have a brain-busting session. Well, my Heavenly Father tells me, I don't want you busting your brain and throwing all your knowledge out there. He's telling me about an inversion knowledge process. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means to pull His knowledge into your mind, into your brain, including the things that you need to know in that inclusion and inversion process. So, of course, the seventh has to be your relationship with God. The way that you communicate with the universe and the way He communicates with you, which to me really is the first, not the second. Because the thing is, if you have a good relationship with God and you're doing things by His principle, it should be good enough for humans. For men.
Right.
It should absolutely be good enough.
Absolutely. John, I'm sorry. I should have taken your call early that we could have had a more in-depth discussion around this. So I'm going to thank you for your share there in those principles. And, Nikita, if you want to say a short word about that, and then we're gonna need to move on to the next segment. Thank you so much for calling in, John.
You're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, John, for that. And I would say you're dead on with those principles. I would add that there's agility, the understanding of being strategically flexible, that deliberate calculation that we need to have, and not being so rigid into our way. Because we get stuck in a way where our story is fueling us, because we've always, you know, you hear people say, I've always done it this way, right? But after a while, if that always way becomes, it blocks you, and it starts to become destructive. It no longer fuels you forward. So I would add to the principles that you listed, which were dead on, that agility should be there, as well as making room. You have to make room for what you deserve and not just fill up so much with stuff to give to other people that you're not literally making room for the next level that you're supposed to receive, or you'll get stuck in one area of your story and not have room to move forward in the greater spaces that God wants to take you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for that. And I think that those additions are really beautiful, because agility is so important. What worked yesterday for you might not work today. And if you're not flexible enough to change, then you're also dead in the water.
Absolutely.
So we are a little bit tight on time. I do want to take a minute or two to talk about that last point that you wanted to bring across, because people may have been like sitting at the edge of their chair waiting for tell me one tip that I can deal with this dreaded procrastination that I have, because it's probably keeping them off kilter from their balance. So give us that one tip before we then let people know how they can get a hold of you. One tip around a way to win the battle with procrastination.
Absolutely. So a quick way to win is to embrace it. It sounds so odd, Penny, but it's the reality. Stop fighting against something that actually could work for you. If you are someone who you really have done well in your life because you're a procrastinator, you hate it, you don't like the way it makes you feel, it stresses you out, it causes anxiety, but the reason you default back to it is because you win when you do it. So I'm a perfect example. When my back is against the wall, you take myself back to, you know, undergraduate 20-page papers, 10-page papers, I knew in the back of my mind that I was going to ace that paper if I stood up all night and did it. Versus if I took 3 weeks. So instead of fighting it, I embrace it, but you embrace it smartly. So you know some of your anxiety is attributed to the fact that you have to do everything at the last minute. So So don't do that. That's not working for you. That's causing stress, toxicity, all kinds of things. So how about you ruminate? If I know that I have, I'm just going to pick on papers for a moment or project. If I have a project due in 2 weeks, the boss hit me, you know, side of my head, didn't even tell me it was coming, this big project, take some time, 15 minutes, and think about what do I want to do with that project? Because typically when you first find out about something, that's the greatest opportunity for ideas to rush in. But we don't do it. We kind of push them to the side like, oh, I don't have time for this. I'll get to it later. No, accept that the ideas are rushing in and write them down or record them if you're more of an audio-based learner. Write them down or record them. Then the next day or a couple days later, you know, kind of throw a timeline out for yourself. Have another opportunity to sit with, let me look at those ideas. What can I do? Let me add a sentence. Let me decode it just a little bit. So by the time you get to that normal procrastinatory 4 hour, 11th hour time, you've actually done the most of the work because your subconscious has been working out the problems the entire time. Now it just needs to pour out of your hands or out of your mouth if it's something oratory or, you know, something you have to write. So I always say embrace it and everything that comes with it, including the spillage, which are the mistakes that are guaranteed to happen. It's okay if there's unintentional mistakes because that's how we learn and that's how we grow.
I like that, right? Embracing procrastination. I as you started to talk about it, it sounded like kind of selective procrastination, right? Because you kind of decide which things are okay to leave until the last minute because you know that that's a better way to get it done than some of the other things. And I like what you said about, you know, getting, as ideas rush in, getting it down, although by getting it down, you're getting it out of keeping you from procrastinating on the rest of the things that you're doing, right? And I think also a lot of people procrastinate because of lack of clarity, right? I mean, it's either they, you know, there's lots of different reasons, but they don't want to do it or, you know, or they have a lack of clarity. So I think discussing it can be really helpful too. Like you said, maybe put an outline or write down some ideas. Like I was at the hairdresser yesterday and my hairdresser's studying to be a nurse and she said she's got this application that's due the next morning and she hasn't even started it yet other than a few thoughts. And she said she was totally stuck. And just through discussing it with me, she came up with how she was going to write it and got unstuck on the area that she wasn't clear about. So sometimes we kind of push it down. So I like the idea of embracing it in the context of, like you said earlier, kind of recognizing it, right? Okay, here it is, and getting curious. And then, yeah, by interacting, then you may just, you know, find the solution that you're looking for that helps you to get it done faster or at least relieve the stress aspect of it.
Absolutely. That's a perfect way to summarize it.
So, Nikita, we're coming down to the end. This is so sad. This was so good to be with you here.
Same here.
Everybody's like, you know, they want to know how can they get a hold of you? How can they find out more? How can they hear about your 5:30 Periscope? Or maybe they don't want to be there at 5:30, but they want to catch you on something else.
No problem. So if you're not a 5 a.m.er, it's okay. I tell people to grab your portion whenever it makes sense for you. The best way to get in touch with me is LinkedIn. I am my full name, Nikita Figpen, on LinkedIn. We do have a FigPro company page, but, of course, the best way is to go through me directly. Reach out. Send me a connection request, and we'll set up time to have a conversation. If you're local to the Philadelphia area, perhaps we'll have tea. I chat with people the most on Twitter, at FigPro on Twitter. And we have a breathe room on Facebook. It's a private group where we engage. And I repost the 5 a.m. Club, the 5 a.m. Wake and Breakthrough that I do. So you can grab it from there, too. You can talk to other 5 a.m.ers. I call them early risers. So there's lots of ways to engage.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being here. It was a blessing for me and I'm sure for everybody else who was online.
Thank you for having me, Penny. I really appreciate it.
And thank you guys, our listeners, for being here, whether you're catching it live or you're chiming in later. And if you just chimed in, go back and listen. It was a great show. We talked about balance. A couple key tips to remember. Balance is individual, so you've got to define it for yourself. We talked about really looking at quality of your time versus the quantity of the time, right? It's really where you want to look to focus. And so many great tidbits that I can't even sum up in this short period of time that we have. So it's about balance. It's about what's in your head, getting rid of the stress, being more productive. Focus is that intimacy is what Nikita had talked about. So beautiful. So I want to thank you all for being here, and we'll see you next week on the next show. See you later next week.
Are you seeking techniques to improve your productivity? You can experience a 10 to 50% improvement, even if you're highly efficient now. The secret is understanding the 10 productivity elements and incorporating energy management into everything you do. This radio program is just the start. Go to TakeChargeRadio.com to access a self-assessment and a free 30-day coaching journal that will help you supercharge your productivity. That's TakeChargeRadio.com.